For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What is up, everybody? This is Jeff Morton with another CSG special. This one is the big one. This is, the big one as we get into what became the 2008-2009 Denver Nuggets Western Conference Finals season. And obviously, I'm referring to the trade that completely changed the culture and the dynamics of the Denver Nuggets. And I'm referring to the trade of Allen Iverson to Detroit for Chauncey Billups and Antonio McDyess, but we'll get to the McDyess part at the end of this podcast. To give you a little bit of background about what was going on at the time, we had a situation in Denver where Mark Warkentin, Rex Chapman, and Brett Baripp, but mostly, the credit that goes with this is Mark Warkentin, had an eye on Allen Iverson. Now, one of the reasons Allen Iverson was traded for in 2006 was because Melo was, as we all remember, was about to serve a 15-game suspension for slapping in that brawl, and quote-unquote brawl in New York. That was more of a slap fight. He came on board because there was a feeling, and everyone will deny this, but everyone knows this is true. One of the reasons Allen Iverson, and probably the main reason he was traded for, was because Melo was out and there was a feeling that the Nuggets were going to collapse in the rest of that season. And Iverson ends up being traded for, and it was a move to salvage the season. That was mainly a Rex Chapman endeavor. And when it comes to Chauncey Billups, the setup to this was Mark Warkentin and to a smaller extent, Brett Baripp had their eye on Allen Iverson and had seen him diminish in skills. And it was a view that wasn't largely either shared or known by the greater NBA public. Now, keep in mind, this 2008, this is in the days where no preseason games were televised. None. And they were playing games in Edmonton and things like that. I believe, actually, that year the Nuggets played a preseason game in Edmonton. The NBA would take that time to do NBA games in extremely small markets. I remember a lot of times in the 80s, the Nuggets would go to Iowa. I think even once they did a McDonald's tournament in Rome, I believe in 89. So that is basically very much during that era where really preseason games were not televised. Maybe the odd warm-up national TV game, maybe one, but it wasn't what it is now, not nearly to that extent. So if you can see that a player's, it was very important to have scouts and to see a player's skills diminish or accelerate. And the Nuggets brass, particularly Mark Workenthain, had seen Iverson's skills kind of... It really wasn't evident at the end of the 2007-2008 season, but it really became evident in the preseason. And something needed to be done. Kind of move over to Joe Dumars of the Detroit Pistons. Long having rued the day that he chose Darko Milicic over Carmelo Anthony in the 2003 NBA draft, had a long pursued, and this was a pursuit that went on for almost 2 years, back to when Melo signed his second contract. Joe Dumars was really, really wanting to make that mistake go away, basically, and was really wanting to acquire Carmelo Anthony. And this was brought to the attention of Mark Workenthain, who heard the multiple times Joe Dumars came to the Nuggets with an offer and rejected them all. Waited and waited and waited. And it really heated up in 2007. In 2007, there was consistent issues between George Karl and Carmelo Anthony. It had become a fractious relationship. Melo had some very famous public missteps. People in Denver will remember the whole "hold my weed" thing. This is pre-legalization of marijuana in Denver, by the way. So just keep that in context. So the Nuggets were kind of watching this unfold with Allen Iverson, and finally, in the preseason of 2007, approaches were made to get a deal done, but not for Carmelo Anthony. It was done to get a different kind of deal for Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson's deal in 2008-2009 was an expiring deal. It was an expiring contract. And that expiring deal, particularly in those days in the NBA, became very valuable. Expiring contracts were great to clear cap space, particularly if you saw yourself as a contending team. And the Detroit Pistons of 2003 to 2008, were a Eastern Conference juggernaut. They went to five or six straight conference finals, went to two finals, won a championship in 2004, and it just were one of those teams that was always in the mix every single year, be it with Rick Carlisle, be it with Larry Brown, be it with Flip Saunders. They were always there. It was because they had a very strong, strong core and strong leadership. And the Nuggets going into that season were worried that they had a vacuum, a large vacuum, a leadership hole, if you will. And that hole became even more noticeable as the Nuggets started the season 1-2. And Iverson was beginning to really show his diminished skill set. And it was decided after the third game of the season that a deal should go down. And it came out suddenly. I think that there was zero buildup to this trade. As someone who was around at the time, let me tell you, it was a trade that for the rest of us schlubs and, you know, who just... At that time, it was about a year before I started actively covering the Nuggets, but I was, you know, I like everyone else, I was actively participating in Denver Stiffs at that time. It was the merged blog that came together between Pickaxe and Roll, Nate Timmons' site at the time, and Andy Feinstein's Denver Stiffs, and they both merged under the Denver Stiff banner under SB Nation. So I had taken my comments from Pickaxe and Roll and firinggeorgecarl.com/DenverStiffs, and just it was all under one site at that point, writing fan posts and really just actively participating in what became a magical season. But at the beginning of that time, no one knew, and I had an inkling that this trade was about to go down, because most people figured that Allen Iverson's contract was going to be borderline untradeable. I believe he was making about $20 million. And, yeah, I know that in now terms that money is paltry, but think of it back then, the cap was about $50 million, roughly. And you had someone taking up that much of your cap. The Nuggets were over the cap, but they were under the luxury tax after they had traded Kenyon Martin. So, not Kenyon Martin, sorry, Marcus Camby. I just turned 40, that is my excuse. So, anyway, this trade comes down. Nuggets send out Allen Iverson, and they get back in return Chauncey Billups, and a player that I cannot remember, and Antonio McDyess, former Nugget. Spent about 6-7 years on the Nuggets in two different stints with a year break in between the two stints. And was famously traded in 2002 in one of the better trades of the Kiki Vandeweghe era, where he managed to get a great return for Antonio McDyess. That return included Nene, the draft pick that was Nene. But Antonio McDyess was a different story. Like I said, I will address that at the very end of this. It won't be long, but I'll address that at the end of this. Chauncey Billups coming back home was huge. For those that don't remember, Chauncey Billups did play on the Denver Nuggets his second season in the NBA. He was drafted by Rick Pitino in Boston in 1997, and spent a hellacious first season with Pitino. Pitino had wanted Tim Duncan, had actively tanked the Celtics season that year to get Tim Duncan, and ended up with Chauncey, and it just was one of those you're not the person I wanted relationships, and he actively resented him. And he was, I believe Chauncey was the third pick in the draft, and Pitino traded Chauncey midway through his rookie season, which you never see. You never see that in the NBA. With a top five pick. It just doesn't happen. Pitino traded Chauncey, and Chauncey ended up bouncing around a lot. So he was traded midway through his rookie year. He came to Denver his second year in the league, and played for about a year and a half. And the Chauncey Billups that played in Denver in 1999/2000 was not the player that came back in 2008. Chauncey had bounced around his first 5 years and then ended up in a situation where he was in Minnesota, and he really credited Kevin Garnett and Sam Mitchell for kind of showing him how to do it, really being a professional. And it was from that stop in Minnesota that he really, really blossomed, and he went to Detroit and became one of the best point guards in their history, behind Isaiah Thomas, a leader. But more than that, he was a leader, and that's something that the Nuggets were sorely lacking. So the Nuggets acquired Chauncey Billups after the third game of the season, and immediately he changed everything about the culture of the Denver Nuggets. Everything. You know, it was people don't know about Chauncey at the time, and it wasn't actively reported. But Chauncey was very much active in the Denver community, never sold his home. He was always here. He came back every offseason, even though he played in Detroit for all those years and he bounced around the league. He always stayed in Denver. Chauncey Billups is Denver. Chauncey Billups, there's no athlete in Denver. I mean, maybe now you could say with Kyle Freeland on the Rockies, but there is no athlete that represented Denver and loved Denver as much as Chauncey Billups. Problem was, he had a bad time when he was here his first go round, and he was a little reluctant when he got here, and he needed some coaxing to understand that he was not the same player he was at that time, and it was a completely, completely different circumstance. And when Chauncey came in, I believe the first game they played was against the Dallas Mavericks, and the Nuggets immediately looked different. They looked like a completely different team. They were a bit slower in pace, but they were more organized than you've ever seen in the time the Nuggets were had George Karl at the helm. Chauncey managed, through the strength of his personality and the respect that he had, to immediately affect the culture and the organization of the Denver Nuggets. They all kind of respected Chauncey, which is what you need on a team that has championship aspirations, which the Nuggets suddenly did at that time. And he managed to corral what you would call a misfit bunch that was on its way to developing a certain reputation in the league along the way. That was all Chauncey. Chauncey Billups became, and I think you would be right in saying that the Chauncey Billups trade was among the best in Nuggets history. I would put it in the top two. The Alex English-George McGinnis trade in 1979 probably is the best, quote-unquote, trade in Nuggets history. But the Chauncey Billups for Allen Iverson trade really is, I put it at number two. And I will tell you why I put it at number two. The second part of that trade was Antonio McDyess. Antonio McDyess, personally, I mean, putting my hand up saying, Antonio McDyess is one of my favorite ever players with the Nuggets. When he came back from Phoenix, after the Nuggets reacquired him, the Nuggets, he had developed a turnaround baseline jump shot that he hadn't had before. And it was really impressive, especially for that era of the NBA. You know, you rarely saw big men who were, you could play both center and power forward. They had the skill of Antonio McDyess, and it was able to do that sort of thing. They're expecting everyone to, you know, shoot threes. But back then, having a power forward slash center who could, you know, out-athletic the big men of the front, of the what was traditionally a front court, was insane. And by the time Antonio McDyess got injured in 2001, where he blew his patella through his body, by that time he was on his way to just basically keep going. One of his biggest issues, though, for people who were around at the time know, his nickname was McNice. He was extremely, people kind of knocked him because he didn't have a killer instinct, but on the right role it was amazing. Long story short, McDyess pieces together his career. He goes to New York. He essentially misses 2 years in a row. He got injured again, missed two straight seasons, and then finally was able to come back. He bounced from New York to Detroit. And it was in Detroit with the Pistons that McDyess carved out this role as like a super role player, a guy who could come off the bench and get you 15 points. 16 points, and play at, you know, good, tough defense. Something that really McDyess wasn't known for in Denver, but that's another story. But he had developed that in Detroit. So he had come from that and come through that and really had carved out a really essential niche. He didn't want to come back to Denver. Part of the deal was that he was going to be bought out. And that buyout was kind of part of this deal. Well, no one knew it. They didn't announce it. And then it finally kind of started circulating, and it took a while for the buyout to happen. But McDyess had no intention of coming back to Denver. And his issue largely was that you traded me twice. Why would I want to come back? And I believe Chauncey had mentioned something like that shortly after he was traded to the Nuggets. You traded me twice thing. And which is, you can't blame him at that point. And I think that the hard feelings were still there. And he had no intention of coming in. So the buyout was there. Problem is this. This trade would be the best in Nuggets history if McDyess had agreed to come to the Nuggets. Because if McDyess had agreed to come to the Nuggets, I have zero doubt in my mind the Nuggets would have won the championship that year. Zero. I think everyone can look at that team and see what they needed and seeing what McDyess provided and said, you know what? This team would be a no doubt championship. They would have clobbered the crap out of the Lakers that year if McDyess hadn't wanted to be bought out. That is the one thing that keeps me from saying that the Chauncey Billups Allen Iverson trade is the best trade. It is number two, largely because Antonio McDyess just didn't want to come. And it's sad, really, because McDyess remains one of my favorite players. And I think that he deserves more respect than he gets in Nuggets history. But that's another story. All right, well, thank you for joining me on this CSG special. I will be back soon with regular CSG. And we'll go from there. And coming up in about a month, we've got the 7th anniversary of CSG Podcast. Can you believe that? 7 years. Whew. Back from the days that Nate and Ross were interviewing the likes of Gary Miller. So thank you all for joining me, and I will be talking to you soon. Goodbye.